The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You are tuned in to Wednesday's edition and the Ebor meeting is upon us. 4 days of good action to look forward to from York, and it's Wednesday's racing that will take the attention of our podcast today. Three group races on the card to enjoy: the Acorn Stakes, the Great Voltigeur and the Judmont International Stakes. You can hear it all live from Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Stuart Beasley, James Millman and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Meanwhile, my name is Sam Norris and I'm delighted to be joined on the line once more by Timeform's Jamie Lynch to look at four from Wednesday. How are you this morning, Jamie?
I'm very good, thanks, Sam. I'm really looking forward to this week. It's always a special week in racing. It's always a special week in sport. And especially at this time of the week, the anticipation levels are up, the excitement levels are up. And it's something of a common theme. I don't know whether it's by design or just by coincidence, but the first day of all the big festivals seems to be the best day, and we've got that here in terms of quality. Look at the horses involved, look at the standard of the racing, and we're also going to look at one of the hardest handicaps that's going to be run all week in the 155 at York, that 5.5 furlong handicap. That's going to kick us off, but how excited is everyone to just look at the horses that we're going to see at the beautiful York racetrack this week?
You've hit the nail on the head there. Three excellent group races on the first day, and the first race that we'll come to, as you mentioned there, is arguably even trickier than some of the group races.
Yeah, very much so. Look, we've got 20 runners. It's a handicap. They're all equalised, or so the theory goes, and therefore it's going to be, what, 8-9-1 the field, you would imagine. And it's going to be a hard race to pick apart. This is where the real study takes place. Everyone knows the group horses. Everyone knows how good they are and more or less their relationship. These are the races where you can pan for some gold, and this is a perfect example.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll start with that race then. The 155 is the Symphony Group Handicap, a Class 2 handicap over the minimum trip. And Robot Boy heads affairs this morning at 8-1. And it's 9-1 for Moving Time, Gold Dream and See the Sun. 12-1 for Mass Rally, Ashpan Sam, Line of Reason, Kimbrella and Petakin. And 15s or bigger prices, the remainder. As you mentioned, it was always going to be a widely priced up field. And Robot Boy, the head of affairs there, the Gosforth Park Cup winner, of course. What of his chances tomorrow?
Yeah, Robot Boy is totally understandable why he is towards the head of the market. He's a horse who, this is his coming of age season. He's always promised a lot, but it's only really this year that David Barron has tapped into him, turned him inside out and got him really flourishing and thriving. Back-to-back wins at Musselburgh and Newcastle were a sort of a sense of what's to come, and then since then he's put a bit extra on top. Two runs at Ascot, third the first time behind Discussion to Follow, and then not an unlucky fifth, but just a fifth that didn't do him full justice behind Racy at Ascot last time, because it was a bit of rider indecision early on. Graham Gibbons didn't quite know whether to go left, to go right, which group to join, and by the time he made his mind up, the race was more or less gone beyond his recall, but he still ran really well to finish fifth there. So Robot Boy, in terms of his profile and his form, he's got a really good chance here. It's certain to be one of the favourites and totally understandable as to why. But one thing you try and look into with these races, these sprint handicaps, is where the pace is going to be, because that is obviously the focal point of the race and it can determine the outcome by and large. Robot Boy has got a low draw, hasn't he? He's drawn over in 4. Over on that side, more or less dependent on Ashpan Sam, who's in 5, and Magical Macy in 6, to tow that area of the field along. But it's the high pace, it's the high draws, where the stand side might just be the place to be here. Robot Boy might find himself on the opposite side of the track to where the action is unfolding, because look at the horses who were drawn high. In 18, Judge and Jury, meow, one-dimensional front runner. In 19, Caspian Prince, no faster horse in training barely over 4 furlongs than Caspian Prince. And then stall 20 right up against this rail is the very fast 3-year-old See the Sun. So it might be that high place, the high draws and the stand side is exactly the place to be. And therefore, with that in mind, Sam, how about the old boy? How about Mighty Mass Rally with his stall 17, the ideal toe into the race, to perhaps roll back the years and to perhaps bring his touch of class to the table? Because he has got a touch of class, fourth in the Duke of York, no less. Last time we saw him, look at some of the horses who were involved in that. Marek, Astair, Hawkeye the New, Jack Dexter, all horses who were a bit above handicap company, as befits a Group 2. Masrally was fourth there, running on well at the end, as he normally does. And he's got a bit of history in this particular race as well. He was second to Tax Free, beaten just a neck back in 2012. He loves York. He loves this trip. He loves the burn-up of pace. The faster the go, the better his chance, because he can go through the race on the bridle. He's a tricky customer. He's a quirky horse. But the faster the go, the better his chance. And where he's drawn in 17 compared to where that real pace burn-up is on that high side, it might just be the making of him. And the other point about him, Sam, is that he comes in fresh. No bad thing at this time of the year. We haven't seen him since that Duke of York back in May, but you can bet your bottom dollar that Michael Dodds will have him primed for this. So yes, there are younger legs around. There are perhaps better handicapped horses lurking in and around here. But Masrally, top weight, touch of class, ideal draw where the pace looks to be. I think he's set for a big run.
Okay, then Masrally in that one. He's available at 12-1 with us here at William Hill this morning. Would you be making him the main selection for this race, Jamie? And is there anyone at maybe a bigger price you'd be looking at? I know it's Boggett's in the field again at 16s, the winner of this race last year. He's had a bit of a torrid time since then. Maybe to sneak into the frame?
Yeah, Kevin Ryan likes this race. And as you said, you were right to pinpoint that horse who bounced back to life in this race last year, Bogart. He's got quite a similar profile in that he's just looked out of form this year, but that needn't stop him running well here. Another one is York Glory, Kevin Ryan's York Glory, who looked like a group sprinter in the making when he won the Wokingham. He's got loads of form in this sort of race, but he's another one who just looks to have gone off the boil, looks to have gone in the head. First time visor and having Jamie Spencer might well work on him. A horse I'm interested in at a bigger price is this Kimberella. It's number 15 on the card. It's got that middle draw in 12, so Adrian Nicholson, see which way the wind's blowing before he decides which way to go. And he ran in the Great St Wilfrid, the William Hill Great St Wilfrid, just at the weekend. Finished seventh, but was beaten just over a length. And he was on the other side of the track from where the finish really developed. So that was a perfectly good run. 5.5 furlongs looks an ideal trip for him because he's got loads of speed, this horse. He was seventh in a really good race here, two starts back. Again, not beaten far behind Muthmere, having gone off too hard. So he's a horse who's a good fit for this race. There are several, in fact, there are probably a dozen we can pick out with good chances. And if you almost do it in draw terms, pick one from the low, one from the middle, one from the high, just to sort of spread your chance around, my three in that regard would be Robot Boy on that far side, who we've talked about, really solid option, Kimberella down the middle, and then on this stand side, perhaps my main bet, and probably an each way bet, given that he's a tricky customer who might not go through with it fully, but is sure to be thereabouts in the finish, number one, Masrally.
Okay, fair enough then. Plenty to go out then from Jamie. We'll move on then to the 2:30, the Group 3 contest, the Acorn Stakes course. 12 runners down to go to post there for this 7 furlong contest. And there's quite a few impressive 2-year-olds lining up here, isn't there?
Yeah, there's loads, and there's loads of potential in this field. That's the point about the Acorn Stakes. It's horses who are destined for potentially big things. We don't quite know where these horses are at because they're developing at various rates, but we do know that each one of them deserves a place in the lineup by and large, and each one of them is potential group winner in the making, but none more so than number one, Bassettine. Now, Bassettine raced twice in his career. On his debut, he needed the run, finished third, perfectly solid start, but then he absolutely transformed at Doncaster just 2 weeks later when he ran away with a maiden by 8 lengths. Now, when you get a wide margin winner like that, it's hard for us ratings experts, so to speak, at Time Form to really get a handle on what the performance was worth. And one of the tools you have to use is the time, the actual time that the horse clocked. And Bassettine, compared to the other races on that Doncaster card, and in fact all the times we've got all the data for Doncaster going back, clocked what can only be described as a sensational time in winning that race by 8 lengths. And that made you think, and made us think, that he is every bit as good as he looked in taking apart that field. And the other point about him is that he made all the running at Doncaster that day just look like a natural front runner, a horse who was comfortable, in fact at his best, up with a pace. And what is York always famous for? Front runner's track. That's what people far more knowledgeable than me, jockeys and trainers alike, all say that York is very much a front runner's track, especially on that 7 furlong where it's a dogleg start and you're soon into that bend. Low draw and forcing tactics seem a really big help. So Bassettine from stall 5, with the way he went about things at Doncaster and the form and the time performance, suggests to me that he is by far and away the horse with the most potential out of all of them in here.
Okay, and Bassettine's just pinched favouritism with us here this morning. He was leading the market with Aidan O'Brien's Jamaica, but it's now 9-4 for Bassettine, 11-4 Jamaica. Prince Gargarin is 11-2, 7-1 Growl, Dutch Connection 10-1, 11-1 Misleading in 16s or bigger. Where else are you looking in this race, Jamie?
Yeah, that just as you read out the prices there, Sam, that seemed like the right feel for the race. It seems like the right horse are towards the top, because you can't help but look closely at Jamaica. Look at who he represents. It's Aidan O'Brien. He won a maiden by 3.25 lengths last time. And perhaps more significantly, he started out in a maiden where Aidan O'Brien tends to run some of his best horses. Now, the maiden, which happened at the Curra back in June, previous winners of that include Horatio Nelson, Duke of Marmalade, Rip Van Winkle. It's clear that that maiden is very much on Aidan O'Brien's radar for running some of his best horses, or presumed best horses, in that. He did actually win that maiden. Jamaica was third that day. And the horse who won that, Glen Eagles, has since gone on to win a pattern race, a Group 3 race. So it's clear that that particular trend is still in existence. That Aidan O'Brien's, those towards the top end of his two-year-old pecking order start off there. Jamaica won a Galway very, very nicely. I suppose the issue with him compared to Bassettine is that Jamaica's future lies over middle distances. He's by Galileo. The dam, she was a mile and a half winner. She's got loads of stamina in the pedigree, loads of stamina in the family. And it's just a wonder whether he's going to be as quick as Bassettine over this very fast York 7 furlongs. Because even at Galway when he won, he was pushed along 2 furlongs out. He did come off the bridle and need to be got hold of and got into top gear. And it just might be a case that the very fast, very sharp, very professional Bassettine might just have the race gone and won by the time that Jamaica finds top stride. He might find that Jamaica is a better three-year-old once he gets a trip to express himself fully, but for this particular contest, Bassettine makes more appeal than Jamaica, and I can see why, and I think it's right that he's favourite over Jamaica. And just a word on the third favourite you mentioned there, Prince Gagarin. It's a positive when one of Ed Dunlop's shows as much as Prince Gagarin has in 2 starts. He's a trainer who normally plays the long game, but when the horses do reveal themselves as precocious and fast, then they often do hit the mark. And Prince Gagarin, a really good third on his debut, and then he beat previous winners at Newmarket. It was only a three-runner race, but both the two he was up against were winners that day, and he dealt with them very smoothly. And Ryan Moore, he's booked, so that's a statement of intent in itself. It's clear that Prince Gagarin is well thought of, and he's well capable of making a big impact in this. But in terms of form achieved so far, and perhaps more importantly for this race, because of what we're looking for and because there are unknowns within most of the field, the time performance. The horse who's clocked the best time out of all of these is Bassettine. He's got that to back up the visual impressions of how impressive he was at Doncaster. And then we come to the icing on the cake. Look at who Bassettine represents. Firstly, it's Richard Hannon. No finer trainer of two-year-olds than him. And then it's the Hamden Al Maktoum, Paul Hannigan combination that has more or less run riot throughout the season. So Bassettine, low draw, free-going, front-running style, York 7 furlongs, best form, best time. It makes perfect sense, Sam, why he's 9-4 favourite, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went off shorter on the day.
OK, fair enough. Bassettine in that one for Jamie. Available to back at 9-4 with us at the time recording here at William Hill. Next race that we'll come to is the Group 2, the Great Volta, over 1.5 miles. 10 runners down to go to post here, and Kingston Hill is the 6-4 market leader. And we've seen him plenty this year, haven't we? The Guineas, the Derby, the Eclipse. Ryan Moore on board for the first time, and you mentioned in that previous race that that is a real statement of intent there. Is he justifiably favourite for you?
Absolutely, Sam, yeah. And there is a case for saying that 6-4 is a big price, considering that his achievement far outweighs anything else in the field. What we've got here is a typical great voltager, in that we've got sort of second-tier three-year-olds, certainly group standard, but not really Group 1 standard, who have got one eye on the St. Ledger and who are, generally speaking, staying horses, later maturing horses. But the one exception to that rule is Kingston Hill, because here we have a proper Group 1 horse, already established in that level, second to Australia in the Derby. And post that, he went to the Eclipse. Now, everyone saw the Eclipse. It was a muddling, unsatisfactory race for the way it developed. Mukadram and the front runners just got away from the field. It wasn't the finest hour of Frankie Dettori aboard Kingston Hill. It wasn't the finest hour of several other senior jockeys who had their mounts too far back. So he actually did best of those who were held up that day. He emerged with his reputation intact, certainly. And going back up to a mile and a half here is absolutely perfect for him. Just talk about ratings, because obviously that is what we specialise in at Timeform. I'm going to read you, Sam, the top three-year-old horses so far this season according to Timeform.
Okay.
We've got Kingman top, understandably, yeah. A sensational horse, 133p. 130p next in is Togruder, the filly who has taken the season by storm. Australia, who we're going to talk about in a second, no doubt, with the Jumbo International. Dual Derby winner, 129p. Then we've got See the Moon, 127p. The German horse who's headbound headlong for the Arc de Triomphe later in the season. A really good German horse. Knight of Thunder, the Guineas winner, on 127. And the next in is Kingston Hill on 125. That's the sort of league he's already in. And when you see him with those horses compared to the horses who he's up against, as admirable and as developing as they are, he's just a step above. He's a cut above. He's £10 clear on Timeform ratings. And it's quite a simple equation, this one, Sam. If Kingston Hill gives us running, then this race is all over.
It's a fantastic point you make there, actually, because if it was any of those other horses that you alluded to there that that were starting this race, they certainly wouldn't be giving 6-4 about those horses. So as a prize player, it works quite well as well, because if he's up there with some of the other, you know, real top 3-year-olds, none of them would be available at 6-4, would they?
Exactly right. Any of those horses that we mentioned, if they did turn up in the Great Voltage, albeit it wouldn't be the ideal trip for some, but still. It's just a reinforcement of the point of look at what he's already achieved. Look at the class he's already in. And this is effectively a dropping grade for Kingston Hill, who's tackled Group 1 company ever since the Racing Post Trophy, which he won last year. So Kingston Hill is a really good fit for this race. He's already better than an average winner of the Great Voltage Stakes. And if he does what he's done throughout the season and what he did at the end of last year, then he really should be too good for the rest of them. And it's one of those points as well, finally, that there's one of those misconceptions in racing that the word value pertains only to big prices. But Kingston Hill, £10 clear, perfect ideal conditions, Ryan Moore aboard, really, 6-4 strikes me as really good value. So if you're not one of those who minds having a power play, getting the big betting boots on and weighing in at a short-priced horse, then Kingston Hill at 6-4 strikes me as good value.
Yep, no, fair enough. It makes sense. Just before we move on then to the Judd Monster feature of the day, we'll just run through some of the other contenders in the Great Voltage. 6-1 about Grand Duke of Tuscany, who's a bit of an unknown quantity, but massacred the field on losing his maiden, winning by 19 lengths. Hartnell, he's a possible St. Ledger contender. And Snow Sky, who of course won the Gordon, although it wasn't the greatest renewal of the Gordon Stakes we've ever seen. What about those three as co-second favourites?
Yeah, I've never used that term to describe a win, Sam. I'm going to from now on. Grand Duke of Tuscany massacred the field. That's exactly what he did. He won by 19 lengths in a Tipperary maiden. And just as if, like we were talking before about it's being hard to equate wide margin winners, the second horse, the horse he beat by 19 lengths, Gambling Girl, actually won her next start, just providing some solidity and some fix for the form at least. And it is significant in itself that think of all the three-year-olds over middle distances that Aidan O'Brien has got to target in a race like this. This is the one he's chosen. And Grand Duke of Tuscany is clearly the fly in the ointment. He still falls into that could-be-anything category, but he's got the best part of a stone just to match the form of Kingston Hill. This is much, it's a different kettle of fish going from a Tipperary maiden to a Group 2 Great Voltager. Let's talk about some of the others as well quickly. The horses who normal seasons and normal renewals would be favourite, if not amongst the favourites, for a typical Great Voltager, Hartnell. Going the right way, typical Mark Johnston horse in that he's thriving by the run. You just wonder, or certainly I do, about his speed for a mile and a half at York, because it's really when his stamina's been tested that he's come into his own. It was 2 miles, the Queen's Vase, when he just managed to get the better of Century despite hanging that day. He did show he wasn't a sluggard in the Bahrain Trophy at Newmarket, which he won by 2¾ from Windshear. But again, he's up against second tier horses there. He's better than the second tier horses, but he's never gone up against anything like Kingston Hill before. Snow Sky's another one who's in that bracket in that, yes, he's the best of the rest, so to speak, in terms of the next level of horses, but he's never gone up against Kingston Hill or even Hartnell before. And Snow Sky is a bit of a playboy. He wasn't entirely convincing either before the race or in the finish at Goodwood, because he was playing up at the start, his mind didn't look on the job. He still managed to complete the mission, but he wandered in front, and he's certainly going to have to apply himself a bit more if he's to get the better of Kingston Hill. Arguably more interesting for forecasts or for each way purposes is this postponed. Now, spare a thought for Andre Atzeni, the regular rider of Kingston Hill, and for the second start in succession, he's been hooked by his the owner who retains him. He has to ride postponed by the agreement that he has with that particular sheikh. Postponed, though, is a horse who's going the right way and quickly. Now, last time out, you look at that and you think, well, he only won at Hamilton, but that was a really good race by Hamilton standards. He beat Double Bluff. Double Bluff won a glorious Goodwood handicap off 97 on his next start, and postponed looks like he'll find more for going up to a mile and a half today. So for forecast purposes, for each way, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You don't have to just go in on the short price favourite. Postponed makes appeal in various markets. But we've got several races at York this week, including the next one we're going to talk about, where there's a horse who is head and shoulders above the rest and is odds on. Australia in the International, Tegruder certainly in the Yorkshire Oaks, but Kingston Hill is head and shoulders above the rest, proven as such, ideal conditions, and you can still back him at odds against. So Kingston Hill, Sam, strikes me at 6-4 is a good bet.
Okay, the next one, Kingston Hill in that one for Jamie, available at 6-4. We'll move on then to the feature from Wednesday's racing, the 3:40, the Judmont International Stakes, 1 mile, 2 furlong, Group 1 contest, just the 6 runners down to go to post. Australia, as you might expect, leads the market at 4-7. We know Akeen Joseph O'Brien is on his chances, dropping to a weight that he hasn't raced that in more than 2 years.
Yeah, he must be eating cardboard and lettuce for the last week. But you can understand why, because horses like Australia do not come along that often. And even though he hasn't got any actual food to put in his mouth, a horse like Australia is certainly food for the soul. And it's clear why Joseph O'Brien is desperate to keep this partnership intact. And it's clear that Australia needs to get himself back on centre stage. It's not his fault that the likes of Tegruder and Kingman have come along and by and large out-trumped him and stolen some of his limelight. It's how rare is it that you get a dual Derby winner who isn't really the headline act of the season, because we've got exceptional three-year-olds like Kingman and Tegruder who've strutted their stuff while he sat on the sidelines since that Irish Derby. But he is an exceptional horse in his own right. And here's the point about Australia regarding this race. I think that now, Sam, only now, is he tackling his ideal trip. He was third in the Guineas over a mile, just too short for him that day, but still beaten only ahead by Kingman on the other side of the track. And then a mile and a half, he's won those races, the Derby in Epsom and at the Curragh, through speed. Think back to Epsom, that burst that took him away from Kingston Hill and all the rest. And he wasn't exactly flagging at the end, but he wasn't quite as impressive as he looked like he was going to be a furlong and a half out. And I think that a mile and a half is absolute limit for Australia. And now he's coming back down to a mile and a quarter. I think this is going to be his natural home. And I think this is going to be the trip at which he transforms himself and makes that transition from current great to all-time great. And look at the opposition. Yes, worthy Group 1 horses, established, proven Group 1 horses. Mukadram and Telescope, you know, they now are at a level which in most normal internationals at York would entitle them to be amongst the favourites. But they are up against something special, or at least something potentially special, in Australia. Mukadram and Telescope got the backside smacked by a top 3-year-old in Tegruder at Ascot. And I just think the same is going to happen again.
Yeah, there's every chance of that happening. Though I just noticed the front page of the paper this morning suggests Aidan O'Brien is maybe a tad concerned with the fitness of Australia. Would that be enough to put you off?
No, Sam, no. Come on, you know what Aidan's like. This smacks of one word to me, smokescreen, because how rare is it for Aidan O'Brien to talk down one of his horses?
Yeah.
Normally he's talking it up and saying it could have won any race over any distance at any time. I think the reason is just to take a little bit of the heat off Joseph O'Brien. I wouldn't be entirely surprised if he puts up a pound or two overweight. I'd rather have him do that than have to really starve himself and be weak aboard Australia. And I think it's just a case of that. I think Aidan O'Brien is just trying to take some of the headlines, some of the heat off his son Joseph O'Brien and his battle against the scales to ride this horse. Because, you know, just look at how good Aidan O'Brien is. Look at his record. Ever since the Derby at the Curragh, the Irish Derby, he knows one race, the next race, what will it be for Australia. And he's had plenty of time and plenty of preparation to get him absolutely right for this. So I don't buy for a minute. I have great respect for the great man, but Aidan, I'm not buying it at all. If Australia fails for fitness, I'll be flabbergasted. And also, I'll be a bit less wealthy as well. But I won't be less wealthy. That sounds terribly pretentious. I'm sorry. I'll be more skint, to put it bluntly, Sam. More skint.
Australia, the selection then for the Judmonts International, Jamie.
Yeah, again, it's not very original, but I do think that Australia might take these apart. Again, you're looking for forecasts, you're looking for betting without Australia markers, which no doubt William Hill will have. I do think that Muckadram will reverse placings with Telescope from the King George at Royal Ascot. Telescope beat Muckadram by a short head that day. But I think that York, and I think that a mile and a quarter at York, is more the territory of Muckadram than it is Telescope. I think that Muckadram's got a bit more speed, as proven in the Eclipse. And Telescope, it's been over a mile and a half when he's really taken off, winning the Hardwick by a wide margin and chasing home to Gruder at Ascot. So I just think that Muckadram might get the better of Telescope this day. But in terms of the winner, I think that we might not just see Australia win. I think we might see him do something special. And I think we might see Aidan O'Brien afterwards saying, yes, he was quite fit after all, it seems.
Yes, okay then, all right, fair enough. If you could just remind us then, Jamie, one more time, please, of your four selections for Wednesday's racing at York.
Yeah, four selections for York. 155, we're going for number one, Mass Rally, who looks to me to be in the right pace zone, as it is the high draws have the most pace in them, and his style is befitting of a York handicap. He's got a touch of class, so Mass Rally, I'd suggest him each way as well, Sam, rather than win only because of the tricky customer that he is. The 230, Bassatine, really keen on him, really think that he might be a top two-year-old of this year and not just the winner of the Acom. 305, Kingston Hill, £10 clear on time form ratings. If ratings are to be believed, then Kingston Hill should be shorter than the 6-4 he presently is. And then finally, no looking beyond him for me, Australia, one of the top horses of the season, bidding to become one of the top horses of all time.
Okay, excellent. There we go then. Thoughts of Timeform's Jamie Lynch on William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Catch all the racing from York from 1:45 on Racing Radio with Stuart Beasley, James Millman and Craig Forsyth. Set to be an absolute cracking day of action. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Jamie. I hope you look forward to the racing and we'll catch up again tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see some stellar performances.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.